Hail Cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm pretty good, Josh. A quick story for you. I don't know what kind of relationship you have with your boss, if your boss knows that you're a sports fan or if they themselves are a sports fan.
Know that I'm a sports fan. Don't know that I have a Fantasy Premier League Podcast. Really? Wouldn't even know what that meant, I don't think.
Now, my boss, who you actually know, is a sports fan, and he knows I have a fantasy podcast. Mm-hmm. Turns out one day this past week, I was alone in a meeting room with him, and he just casually asked, "So how's your team doing?" I go off on this like 5 minute long tangent about all the ins and outs of my fantasy team.
Oh, no.
He has this peculiar look on his face, and he's like, "I was actually asking about like your team, like the people who report to you."
Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah, so that was kind of embarrassing. Well, one, because, you know, as a manager, you want to be responsible, particularly responsible for the people who reported to you. Second of all, like, I can't just be going off on 5 minute tangents about fantasy teams.
I didn't see like you go that long. Wow. I can't even hold on to the story for this many days. If that were me, I would have run back to my desk and texted you.
Yeah, I could see his look kind of shifting from many different emotions while I was talking. He's not the sort of – he's always the type of guy that wants to see where things go.
Yeah, exactly. Sure, exactly. Wow, that's amazing. I mean, I'm amazed. So, like, I mean, you're, oh, wow. I'm amazed you can just, like, walk out of the room. Like, I'm going home early. I can't deal with this anymore. I need to reset. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll be focusing on work again.
Yeah. Well, luckily, I can laugh those things off with him. So, yeah, so it's fine. But, workplace and fantasy teams, it's a funny old thing.
Truly. Yeah. Speaking of there's no transition here. Speaking of nothing, we had a nice weekend, Brandon. We met up with a longtime listener of the podcast, a new friend, a guy named Rick Sito, who was in town for a wedding and met up with us at the Black Horse, which, like, we should be getting like money for how often we plug the Black Horse. But seriously, if you're in Brooklyn and you want to watch a game with us or without us, that's no offense. You'll probably be there, but no offense if you don't. You got to go to the Black Horse, which is in the Park Slope neighborhood. So he met up with us. We watched a bunch of games together, and he was just a great guy. And we love any time anybody is in town, please let us know. Because it's an excuse for me to get out of the house. And when you've got a 14-month-old baby, any excuse to get out of the house is one you will leap at.
Yeah, I second that. Rick was a tremendous guy to meet. After you and Rick left the Black Horse, Josh, I realized the guy I was sitting next to my left, a huge Manchester United fan, very vocal during the Manchester United-Arsenal match. And he says to me, "I enjoyed watching the game next to you and your friends. You guys know what you're talking about, yada, yada, yada." I introduce myself. He says his name is Luke Dempsey. And I say, "Why do I know this name?" And it turns out that the guy we were sitting next to is Luke Dempsey, author of the great book Soccer 101, A History of 101 Clubs.
I read that book. Wow.
Exactly. I read it too. So I have to heartily recommend Soccer 101. It covers every club from Ajax to Manchester United to Barcelona, all the great clubs throughout history, 101 of them. A great bathroom book.
It really is. I remember reading that actually at my bachelor party too. That's awesome. That's really cool. So once again, this bar that we advertise for free every week on the podcast is one that you should definitely go to. However, I'm glad that Rick was there because it meant that I had to be in my best behavior as much as I could be during a very miserable game week. It was rough for both of us. Yours is worse, so I'll go first, and I'll just get mine out of the way.
Okay.
So I finished on 36 points, which is one of my worst weeks of the season for sure. My game week rank is 4 million, so that gives you an idea of where things are. I dropped 25,000 overall. I was around 20K. I'm at 45K now, so not a humiliating fall by any means, but I didn't have Eden Hazard. Sterling didn't come through. Kane didn't come through. Azpilicueta, Kolasinac. I didn't get any clean sheets from any of my defenders. Fabianski really has to go as soon as possible. I can't deal with the Fabianski thing anymore. That's not he had a good week last week, and I know he's getting save points, and I'm not sure he's actually even going to get transferred out, but I do hate him. So let's just get on record.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation. We had this with Jordan Pickford last season, who was a keeper on, you know, Sunderland, a worst team in the division that got relegated. But he was a pretty good keeper for a lot of teams, given all those save points. And Fabianski, like you're saying, depending on the week, he'll come through.
Yeah, I mean, he's home to West Brom next week. I'm not dropping him now, but it's just like every time I want to do it, I can't. I mean, so anyway, the upside is I did hold my transfer. So I've got two transfers going into next game week. I think that Eden Hazard has to be the move. But just by sheer chance, he was rising, and I thought, you know what, I want to wait a couple days. I want to see at least how the Man City game plays out. You know, Aguero is always an injury risk, so we'll see. You know, it's like maybe we'll get injured. And then my Jesus pick will be, you know, justified. Doesn't get injured, just starts again, amazingly. you know, eighth week in a row or whatever it is. I mean, kind of confirming that Jesus is not a starter, right? That he's an occasional starter. He's a squad player. He's like Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, right? He'll like get a, you know, one out of every four games he's going to start.
Yeah, it's a good comparison.
Yeah, and he does. I mean, obviously he's been getting points off the bench, but I mean, I got 3 points from him. Like, big whoop, you know? And I mean, I've got 3 points, 5 points, 4 points, 5 points, 1 point, 1 point. I got 8 points once from him, you know, just in the last seven game weeks. So, you know, nothing. I mean, this is not worth 10.4 million. I mean, not when that exact same money would buy you Eden Hazard. So now I have to figure out how to do it. Heroes 0.1, which was fine, but I didn't realize that Choupo-Moting was going to drop as well. The plan is to go from Hazard to Chopu, so I kind of actually probably would have made a transfer yesterday if I'd realized that. So my options are a little more limited now.
Yeah.
I have maybe 5.5 to 6 million to spend on that forward. I actually might end up with Dominic Calvert-Lewin of all people.
Here he comes.
Yep, your art school project that suddenly is a valuable
I'm Picasso all of a sudden. Yeah,
your top scorer this game week. I'll get to that in a second. Sorry, I don't mean to. I'm just kidding, of course. But it was I might bring him in. But I think Eden Hazard looks like you know, a player that you really, really need. And they play West Ham at home next game week, so it's or West Ham away, I guess. But you know, same difference, really. So that's where I'm looking. We'll see if it actually happens. So 36 points, you know, just it's funny because when we talked to Rick yesterday, he was talking about how he doesn't really think about overall rank too much. And I don't think I really did either before the podcast started. I mean, it's a good like measure of like total, just like where you are, you know, like overall, obviously. But the mini league is what I've always cared about. And just for whatever reason, we have this mini league of about 20 people. None of us have Eden Hazard. So all of, you know, it was kind of, I basically just treaded water, as did you. So how was your game week?
Well, as you say, I did worse than you, but somehow finished with the higher game week rank, 3.6 million. And I finished on 39 points, but here I have a -8 transfer penalty. So, I took you through the transfer saga when I saw you on Saturday, but for the listeners' benefit, I was chasing price rises since game week, the midweek fixtures, game week 14.
Yeah, I'm really losses starting at game week 5 or so.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So Loftus-Cheek comes in for Tom Carroll, caught the price rise there, and that was my one free transfer. And then Mo Salah, within 20 minutes, that whole shenanigans happened,
right?
And almost solely based on a rage transfer, but also full in the knowledge that I was gonna lose my opportunity to get Salah, given how much I had on the bank if I didn't just jump on him with transfer hits. So Mo Salah comes in for Eriksen, and I had to drop Nathan Ake in my defense, and I brought in Tarkowski. So now I am doubled up on Burnley defense. That didn't pan out because of that sort of fluky goal, but it's hard to call it that because the buildup was there, obviously.
Sure. I mean, it's actually very similar to the Newcastle Sterling goal. But no, I was going to say the Newcastle goal in the Chelsea match too was kind of a shot that just deflected right into another player's path.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, 39 points, -8. I this was kind of a, I kind of laughed off this week because the primary goal was to get Mohamed Salah in and to just stop hemorrhaging overall rank and points for not having him. Now, of course, the whole world has moved on to Eden Hazard at this point.
Right.
But yeah, and I benched Calvert-Lewin in favor of Loftus-Cheek and Richarlison. And as you mentioned, that cost me big. I had some hope that maybe Sané was going to get benched against West Ham today for fear of him picking up another yellow card ahead of the Manchester Derby.
Yeah.
And I was really hoping that was going to happen.
Sure, obviously.
Basically the only good thing that happened to me on Sunday was De Bruyne picking up an assist after he got a yellow card.
Yeah. Oh, the yellow card I got for Jesus. That was really icing on the cake. Like there was some cursing involved when that yellow card came. It was just like, come on, like one more thing, you know, it's just annoying.
Yeah, I guess I should mention the one thing that really bonded me to my new friend Luke Dempsey is David De Gea. Anytime he was save upon save upon double save, I was cheering these like they were goals being scored.
Right, right.
And I have never seen a goalkeeper accumulate so many points in such a short span of time. Yeah. He was making three saves like in one fell swoop. And to get 8 points on a GK, having let in a goal, losing a clean sheet, is really phenomenal. I think we have a few questions about David De Gea later in the pod.
Yep. Yeah, we do. So, you know, it wasn't a great week for a lot of people out there. It was one of those weeks where if, you know, there are certain weeks when your captain does really well and everyone else's captain does well too. And, you know, you might still see some green arrows, but, you know, you're not going to like jump past a lot of people. And this was a game week where if you captained Eden Hazard, you had 40, you know, and many of them have Morata as well. So you were on something like 40 points going into the rest of the fixtures. I couldn't even get to 40 points with all of my players combined. you know, it was a week to climb up if you made the right captain choice. And I love that. I mean, this is why I do think there's a lot of value in not making the most obvious. I mean, okay, let's face it. I mean, if you had Hazard, he was a great captain choice this week. I mean, he was rested at midweek. You know, he was going to start. If he was in my squad, I think I would have captained him too. But yeah, so good on you if you had him. And I think I'm going to try to join you guys.
All right, we have a few announcements to make here before we get any further, right, Josh?
Two announcements this week, Brandon. First one is we've been trying to think of something cool to do for our Patreon supporters. It's December, which means this is Pledge Drive month. I've just decided that's what this month is. So if you want to support the podcast, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. You get into our private league. We're going to start a second half league, right? So the slate's going to reset in game week 20, brand new league. And if you win the Patreon supporter league, you get to be on the podcast. We also have pins for Patreon supporters at the highest level. And for Patreon supporters at the $3 level and the $5 level, you are now invited to the Always Cheating Slack. We have been talking about creating a Slack for a long time, and we finally pulled the trigger on doing it. Slack is basically a private, it's a message board, and it's a place just, it's really like a chat thread more than anything else. And there's various channels. There's one for game week talk. There's one for strategy. There's one for ranting and raving. There's one with different podcast information. You can ask questions for the Always Cheating podcast. So it's all there. It's just it's a tighter community. It's just a way for you to talk with other supporters. I mean, basically if you are giving money to a podcast, you're probably a pretty hardcore fantasy player. And so, we rolled it out kind of quietly to the people who are already patrons, on Friday, and, the thread's already been fantastic. It's really cool. So, patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you want to go. So check it out. And, if nothing else, you can go there and support the podcast.
I'll just chime in and say really quick that the Slack channel is a great thing for people who listen to Always Cheating. There are great communities out there like Twitter and Reddit where you can have FPL conversations. But I think if you're listening to Always Cheating, you're sort of part of a certain voice in that community. And the Slack thread is where you can really hone in on some like-minded people who will actually challenge your FPL theories and wisdoms and benefit your team to a great degree. So it's I'm excited to see how it goes.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
All right, Josh. And the second announcement is we have a new weekly email newsletter. So everybody knows what email is. You get email, right, Josh?
Sure, sure. Too many.
So this email is coming directly from me and Josh. We're going to write this every week. It's going to be really brief tips and tricks going straight into the weekend about what you, how you need to tweak your team. And we'll have some useful links. They could be FPL or non-FPL related, but I think what's going to be most fun, Josh, is as we enter into the new game week, we're going to release our starting 11 for Always Cheating. So we're going to go through and pick a special team of players that we ideally would have in our squads. And that'll be a fun thing to generate discussion, maybe sway you one way or another, depending on what transfers you're looking at making. So Cheat Codes, it's a weekly newsletter. It's starting this week. It's probably going to go out on Thursday or Friday. You can sign up by going to alwayscheating.com, and there is a space right there for you to just key in your email. Bam, you're good to go. And there's also a tab up at the top of alwayscheating.com that says newsletter. You can sign up there too. Very easy.
Great. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the Slack and the newsletter. We got a lot. The Always Cheating Empire, Brandon, it's really starting to...
Yeah. Oh, I guess I should flag that the newsletter is free. Anyone can get it. You do not have to be a patron of the podcast to get the newsletter. That is free, and it's for everyone.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. But we will hand deliver the newsletter to patrons.
Whatever they want. Yeah. They get whatever they want.
All right. Always Cheating Super League. Brandon, let's run through this quickly. I'm conscious. We need to get into the heart of the podcast here.
Yeah, we do. All right. So top 10, dropping from number one from 2 weeks ago, Scott Powell's Enter Shaqiri. Ninth place, Yosi G's Chicken Tikka Mo Salah. Eighth place, D-Boy United. Seventh place, moving up the ranks, Andre Bergstrom, Berbashov. Sixth place, again, moving up, Magnus Westerstrand's team, Beautiful Creatures. And in fifth place, Dan Gross, Odeby Town FC. Dropping down this week in fourth place, Nick Tudhope, Football Friends FC. Third place, Daniel K., his team, Red Devils. And in second place, moving up, it's Will C., my favorite team name for some odd reason. I'm not sure why. 420 Fedora Fanatics. And a new number one after game week 15. It's Abdul Hussan, his team, Bob Fascio. Game week point score of 65 and a total point haul of 940. Abdul has a current world ranking of 224. So well done, Abdul.
That's right. And Abdul is very active on the Slack channel, posting a lot and giving advice out there. So. No, I'm just making that up. But you should be, Abdul. jump on there and check it out. We have just one rant this week. It comes from Berkey. We have a lot of rants, but we kind of put them into the podcast itself. Berkey says, what's the best way to delete one's FPL team? Asking for a friend. Don't do it, Berkey. Resist the temptation. We've all thought about deleting our teams. I probably would have quit. Not quit FPL in general, but I would have. There was a moment last season where if we didn't have the podcast, I might have just walked away. I was that I was that disheartened.
Yeah, Berkey, you know if you delete your team, give it like a few weeks and you're going to be coming back for more. I mean, this is not something that we can just leave.
Yeah, exactly. No, you can't walk away. There was someone on one of our private we're part of this transfer hub Facebook group, and there was somebody on there who like did like a long like why I'm quitting FPL thing, and then the next day he like posted something else, like starting a new thread. So it's
a little bit like Alec Baldwin. He wrote a long essay in New York Magazine a couple weeks ago, why I'm leaving New York. There were some scandalous headlines in the news about him, and he was like, screw it, I'm just getting out of here.
Right.
Alec Baldwin never left New York. People see him around here quite frequently.
Exactly. Not leaving New York is the new why I'm leaving New York.
Okay. All right, Josh, we have a lot to talk about. So let's take a quick break. We're going to come back and take stock of where we are here after game week 15.
All right. That sounds good. Let's do it. Same old podcast, always cheating. All right, Brad, we're into part one of the podcast. We're taking stock. We're 15 weeks in. We're just about to go into, it's already started, you know, just a very mind-bendingly difficult series of fixtures. Like, but within like a week or so, there's basically an FPL game like almost every day. It feels like it just the game weeks never end, right up until I think January 2nd or the first, something like that. There's a lot happening. And we were lucky enough to meet up with FPL Penguin, who is a really great guy and a great follow on Twitter too. If you're not following FPL Penguin already,
He runs the hashtag FPL Zoo, which is just where all of the FPL animal Twitter handles go to hang out, which is a fun thing. But yeah, Mark, FPL Penguin, really cool guy. Glad to have met him.
Totally, totally agree. So we were just sort of talking about the season so far, and it got me thinking about just sort of taking stock, you know, just taking 5 minutes or 10 minutes or no more than 10 minutes to just look at where we are, sort of the, you know, what surprised us so far about this season and, you know, what mistakes we've made, and then what we're planning to do over the holiday fixtures. Like, what's sort of just looking over. I'm looking at the, you know, just like the total scores for various players in the league right now. You know, is there one player that you think has really sort of surprised you more than anybody else?
Well, I think anyone who's been listening to our preseason coverage knows that I wasn't a huge fan of Mohamed Salah. I didn't think that he would really factor into many FPL teams. And, you know, right away, that's like, I got that wildly wrong. Like, that was 100% wrong on my part. I think people who pegged Salah as a great player coming out of Roma into the league was going to fit well into Liverpool. Even the people who expected him to perform at a high level, I don't think would have anticipated his goal scoring rate, just him basically surpassing Coutinho and Mane as the real linchpin in that attacking offense.
Yeah, I think Salah's up there. I think if you want to look the other way, I think Harry Kane's very bizarre season has to go up there too. I mean, he started off with back to back one pointers to start the season. Has battled injuries, has also had four different matches where he's had braces. And so he's on double he's actually, you know, he scored 10 goals already this season, which might be tops actually for all forwards in the league.
It's like the most underwhelming 10 goals of any player ever.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, let's see, he's on 10. I think Morata and Aguero are on 9. Lukaku's on 8. I said early on in the podcast that, or like, you know, when I think in game week 1, I was like, Lukaku's going to score 40 goals this year. I was like, I was just so convinced that Lukaku was just going to like absolutely annihilate teams at Man United. And it turns out it's pretty much the same Lukaku, which is a player who disappears in big matches, goes on long stretches where he can't score, is absolutely unstoppable when playing terrible teams. But even that seems a little muted right now. Like we're in a run where it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So he's one goal in his last 8 matches. At least that's matches in the Premier League. He's picked up 3 assists during that time. So the assists have kind of balanced things out a little bit. But I do you blame Lukaku or do you blame Man United's midfield?
I blame Lukaku. I mean, we talk about the eye test and how Lukaku rates there all the time, and you know it's no controversial opinion to say Lukaku just doesn't look very good out there. He is unable to create his own shot. He's just highly reliant on people getting that ball right to his feet when his body is in the right position to shoot, and he's really struggling there. I guess I can blame a little bit of the chemistry in the midfield at Manchester United. If Pogba isn't in the midfield, they really struggle to produce anything. And I think you saw his value against Arsenal tenfold, where he was really moving the ball around, and he was you find yourself in a game where Jesse Lingard is scoring a brace.
Right.
That's probably not going to happen with Pogba now out on a straight red card.
Yeah, that's the Pogba thing is kind of depressing. Like, if you just like watching the game, like if you don't have any sort of fantasy interest in the game, I mean, right before the Manchester Derby too, which is just so disappointing. Just really.
Yeah, it is.
As a fan.
Pogba, Yeah, Pogba has been a pleasant surprise this season when he's been playing, with the injury and now the red card we're missing out. But he clearly takes that Manchester United team to another level, where then you look at my biggest surprise team-wise, you touched on this with Harry Kane, is that midfield there is just really, really struggling. And I don't think we even need to talk about the Wembley issue, but Spurs have just decimated our FPL teams in every way. I mean, Christian Eriksen is probably has cost me, 30, 40 points at this point, given the transfers that I probably should have been making while I held on to him. And right. It's just been shocking to see that decline with Spurs, where they were at the end of last season and where they are now. It's just, it's unexplainable.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that I think the Wembley thing has to be a big factor because I mean, this same Spurs squad with very little. I mean, it could be the fact that they kept things really static, right? I mean, they didn't bring in almost anybody, right? I mean, is that 11 any different than it was last year? It's pretty much identical. Yeah, and
Davinson Sanchez he's been an interesting addition, and I just don't think that three in the back is working for them right now, and they miss another body in the midfield. Yes. Last season they had a great player in Victor Wanyama. Him and Eric Dier were just busting up every single play, which was freeing up Kane and Dele to be more attack focused. And there's nothing like that right now.
Yeah, if you have a Spurs defender, it's time to get out. It's not it's not worth it. Even someone like Tripp. I mean, well, it's funny because I mean the problem is who would you have if you had one of their defenders, right? I mean, they've got Stoke and Brighton in their next two matches, but the fullbacks have been getting rotated in almost every single fixture, right? So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, great. You have Trippier for either Stoke or Brighton. Those are both good, but that means you've got to rest. One of those guys is going to get rested in either game week 16 or 17, right? And so you're leaving someone who's almost 6 million on the bench. And I guess you can do that but the defense hasn't been, performing anyway. So it's not like, just without Toby Alderweireld, that defense is just not as strong as it.
Could it be time for Cameron Carter-Vickers? Is he out on loan right now?
I have no idea. I don't know. I should be following the Americans more than I am. One thing I'll note is just with the defenders, it's interesting to look at the top six defenders now are all 5.5 million or more. And the expensive defenders, they're sort of, we are where we thought we'd be now, right? I mean, you've got Valencia, Azpilicueta, Kolasinac, who everyone thought would be a great FPL asset, and has definitely turned out to be one. Marcus Alonso, Nacho Monreal, Nicolas Otamendi. I mean, Kyle Walker is down there at eighth. I mean, this is pretty much the top six that you would guess, right?
I think people would have actually expected Kyle Walker to be farther up that list, given how much of an attacking threat he presented with Spurs last season.
Right, and he's not that far off. It's the red card and the missed game that move him down, I think, a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, other surprises would be Watford really being elevated by Marco Silva's management.
Yep.
Marco Silva, did I get that right?
I think so. Yep, I think so.
and the promoted clubs, Brighton and Huddersfield. I mean, Huddersfield is wobbling a bit right now, and Brighton getting tonked by Liverpool it doesn't fully reset the Brighton narrative for me. And I think everyone is kind of expecting Brighton to taper off here as we get into this fixture pile up.
Yeah.
But Brighton have been at times fun to watch.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, there are a lot of interesting FPL options that are coming out of these promoted squads. Maybe Huddersfield less and less, but certainly the other two squads. And I'm just thinking. There's a question here from, even Newcastle is, it's really Brighton. I think we're excited about Brighton players, and the other two are there are some interesting players there, but it's Aaron Moy, I guess, is still kind of, he hit a moment.
Well, shout out to Shane Duffy, who came away with an assist. I mean, it's night and day with Duffy and Dunk, right?
Yeah.
Dunk is just getting destroyed on repeated own goals, and Duffy still manages to escape that Liverpool game with 3 points on that sort of mysterious Jordan Henderson foul on the box.
Dunk on three on goals has to be the most surprising thing of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. No bigger surprise this FPL season than dunk on three OGs.
So there's a question here, and we're going to move on in a second, but there's a question here from Wayne Walsh, who says, why can't I get my captain choice right? And I think it really gets at what kind of season we're having so far, which is the FPL game is not like it's not like other leagues. I mean, I know we have people who listen who do draft, and draft has its own challenges and its own elements of strategy. But you know, having a game where you can own the same players as everybody else is just it creates a lot of difficult choices. You know, and you're playing against the world in a way. And
yes.
And in most seasons, things start to we talked a little bit last week about, is there a template team forming? And there, in my opinion, there still isn't really. I mean, okay, there are certain players who many of us own. But even within that, I mean, I feel like, you know, you and I have six or seven different players. I mean, yeah, you probably need to have Mo Salah. You should probably have Richarlison. It would be smart to have David De Gea. If you can afford Eden Hazard, you should probably bring him in. You might need Alvaro Morata. Like, there are certain players, but it's not like, you know, in other years where it's basically you've got a captain Aguero every single game week, you know, just in case, because he's so far and away the most explosive player. Or, you know, Harry Kane is on a run where he's got, you know, three hat tricks in his last five matches, and you just have, I don't know if he's ever even done that, but like, you know, just some like crazy run, and he has to be your option. And I feel like this week or this season, almost every week, there are four or five different totally valid options.
Yeah. There's more parity than there is. There's not necessarily parity in the Premier League right now. But yeah, as far as our FPL lineups are concerned, I agree. Every week there's a really tough decision to make.
I love it. I think it's great. I mean, I'm having a good season, which I think does help with that for sure. But I, you know, even last year, I don't know. I just, my complaint last year was that it felt very samey. I just love how, you know, it's just like you have to embrace the luck element of this, right? Like luck. It's a huge, we were talking about this yesterday with Rick Sito a little bit. You know, you have to just accept that you have to get a little lucky here. And it's like playing any kind of game that involves, it's gambling a little bit, you know, and you just have to hope that fortune smiles on you a little bit. And, Or find a way to even the stakes out of, like, you know, find like a, you know, set up a head to head league with a friend that just starts in game week 15, you know, like, or 16 or whatever. Like, just find some other way to play the game and don't worry so much about overall rank. Or start a little mini league of four people that starts, you know, the second half of the season. Just find a different way to play if you're getting super frustrated.
Had you told me going into game week 15 that my team would hinge upon whether or not I played Dominic Calvert-Lewin, I'd laugh.
Right, exactly.
But here I am. I could have had a green arrow if I put the much, much maligned striker up there. But so it is. It does come down to luck a bit. I mean, players like Richarlison, Loftus-Cheek, for me, you know, end up with 4 points. And, 12 there on my bench.
I think if there's one player that you think you're going to have throughout the rest of the season, you know, barring any injuries, who would that player be?
David De Gea. David De Gea for sure. And he's been in my squad since game week one. I think it's tricky to talk about De Gea given that he's now up to 5.8. There are other keepers that are in that discussion, whether it's Nick Pope or Thibaut Courtois, who's 5.4, I think, or even after a price rise, he's still perhaps an uneven playing with David De Gea, who's 5.8 now. There's no way I'm getting rid of him. I mean, we were talking a bit about Kevin De Bruyne yesterday, and you saw him as a problem in my squad, and that's another player that I kind of stuck with him through that tough run at the start of the season where he was playing very deep. He got no attacking returns, and now he's the second highest point getter in the game. And, you know, he lacks where a player like Eden Hazard is on penalties, and he does play farther forward. But, I think De Bruyne has three blanks in the last, 9 or 10 game weeks that he's going to be a tough one for me to get rid of, for better or worse.
Yeah, fair enough. Mo Salah is the only player. It's hard for me to imagine dropping Mo Salah at any point the rest of the season. just because of his, because of how hard he works, because of how aggressive he is, because he's still relatively affordable, right? I mean, even now, I think he's only up to $9.9 million. It's a very fair price for his returns. I mean, he's, you know, far and away the top point getter so far this season. So, all right, that brings us to part two of our 15-week season review, which is who's worth their price. And I've grouped it up into two categories. One is expensive guys, and one is value guys. All right, so it's very official, very formal. Foggy Football says, don't talk about Eden too much. I'm quite enjoying having him on my team with his ridiculously low ownership. Eden Hazard, Brandon, still only around 10% owned right now. Are you going to try to bring him in? I mean, he's 10.8 million. So is he worth the money? I mean, he's very expensive.
Yeah, well, going back to what I was saying about De Bruyne, that would be the move for me. Like, that's how I fit Hazard into my squad. I turn Sané into Raheem Sterling, and then Sterling is my Manchester City coverage, and De Bruyne becomes Hazard. Right. And that seems to be the most logical move, but I'm still coming to grips with, you know, like a long history of Eden Hazard. He's always been a great player, but as far as owning him in FPL, he can really kill you because he can go quiet for weeks. I mean, it's hard to argue with his form right now, and the fixtures are really there for Chelsea.
Yeah, and this is the week where I just decided I'm going to ride it out with Sterling. Sterling's my guy on Manchester City, and he might be the only player that I have from that team in my squad throughout the holidays.
Yeah, he really swept Sané aside in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I won't pretend that I didn't. I really debated dropping Sterling for Sané at midweek, and I ultimately didn't. It felt like too much of a lateral move. It didn't seem like it was necessarily going to pan out. But then, you know, Sané doesn't make the 18. Sterling gets a goal in the 95th minute. I mean, it's two game weeks ago, so it already feels like it's like, you know, distant history. But it was amazing, and you know, to pick up 9 points from him after picking up 13 in game week 13, it was. You know, you can put up with a lot if he's going to be that attacking. He actually, you know, he could have scored today too. He couldn't quite get the ball out of his feet. You know, late in the second half, and you know, that would have been his fourth consecutive game winner in a match.
There's a midfield there in that Manchester City squad that seems pretty nailed on right now.
Yeah.
The real rotation we're dealing with is between Aguero and Jesus.
Yeah.
It's like Sterling in particular. Every time you think he's going to get rested, he's not.
Exactly. And, you know, I was talking to, I don't mean to like throw another Slack ad in here or whatever you want to call it, promo. But I was talking to our friend Dave Wegner-Lodahl on the Slack about this, and you know, he did point out that Sterling has been rested a lot already this season. You know, there were two full game makes that he didn't play. He's come off the bench two different times. He was subbed early in a few different matches, so maybe he was just resting him for this run of fixtures, and maybe the Pep rotation is not always about rest, and in some ways it's really about form. And when a player is in form like Sterling has been, he kind of earns that spot until he falls out of form.
Yeah. So you're definitely going for Hazard in the next game week.
It seems likely. It does seem like I've got two transfers. I would be easy to move Choupo-Moting into a 5 million. Basically, do I think that, you know, a combination of Hazard and a 5-point-something million forward is better than what I have right now, which is Jesus and Choupo-Moting? And I just find it hard to think, especially because Eden Hazard is a player that I would consider captaining, you know, in several of the next few game weeks. So that being a factor, it just makes a lot of sense. And I wouldn't have to burn any points to do it.
That is real dirty pool if you go out there and try and neutralize my dominant Calvert-Lewin pick.
It is very dirty pool. He's very tempting. You know, he rose in price as we were doing this podcast, much to my annoyance. So I've been sitting on my hands. I'm just losing so much value. But I could do that. I mean, the problem is if I make that move, and I don't want to make this too much about my own team, but if I make that move, I'd have something like $5.7 million to spend on a forward. So my options are limited. And if I think the DCL is actually going to continue to start for them, which on the basis of recent performances, he will, right? I mean, he looked, I think,
it's a huge boon for DCL that in Big Sam's first match, he starts him. That you could read that as Big Sam just doesn't want to start making changes, having not been with the team for very long. But I'd say that performance under new management is a great sign for DCL.
Yeah, exactly. And he picks up a goal and an assist in that start. Certainly, he seems like the player you'd want over Nias. He didn't even make the squad. And, you know, Nias and Sandro, I mean, those don't necessarily seem like Big Sam players. Just saying, you know, they're not not English, you know. I don't know. So it's – All right, next question in the are they worth the price bracket, the expensive guy bracket, is Harry Kane. A bunch of different questions here. One from Silva on Slack. He says, can we finally drop Kane now? What are the arguments for keeping and selling Adrian SK, SGK1, Gabriel Castellanos, and Todd DeWitt all had similar questions about Kane. What do you think, Brandon? You've got Kane. Are you even contemplating dropping Kane?
Yeah, it's hard to frame this discussion without making it about fear and the fear of what Kane will do the moment you drop him, and we know what he's capable of.
How about fixtures too? Because Stoke and Brighton in the next two matches are not too shabby for a team that's already qualified for the Champions League, has no reason to play him at midweek. It's pretty tempting.
The one thing that does worry me about Kane most of all is his number of shots in the box too. He, despite his performance or despite his goal scoring record, he usually always appears in the top five shots in a particular game week, and he's nowhere to be seen in the top five.
Yeah.
I mean, Hazard had 9 shots in game week 15, which is sensational. But
all right, here's a question for you. Kane, okay. 12.8 million, 37.6% owned right now, plays Stoke at home in game week 16. How likely are you to captain Kane in game week 16 at home to Stoke?
We have we've gone all the way around with the Kane captaincy, right? We went, we at the starting point of like great fixture, Harry Kane, no brainer, captain him.
Right.
Then he doesn't perform. So we get to the gambler's fallacy point of captaining Kane because, well, he's finally got to come good. Then we got to the point where, well, I guess I don't even know what that point. It was like there was a really dark point at some point.
Yeah,
and then we got to this period where
he's injured and sad was really what was going on. Yeah.
So I think we're just coming out of this point where everyone was like, "No, you know what? Despite all of the recent history with Kane, he's still the best striker, and logic says captain him." We are now, I think we're now entering the Kane epoch in which you just can't captain him.
All right. So you got your squad right now. I'm looking at my squad for game week 16. Is it 15 or 16? It's 16, right?
16. Yeah.
For game week 16, who is, you know, no cheating. Who is your captain right now in your squad?
Sure. Our bus team. My bus team right now, I've got the armband on Mo Salah.
I do too.
That Merseyside derby, Liverpool just steamroll Everton in these matches the last few seasons. And I like that.
Yeah, I have it on Mo Salah as well. I guess it might move to Eden Hazard if I end up bringing him in. But yeah, Kane is like third, which is amazing because for a 13 million striker at home to a defense that is quite awful. Right. I think we can both agree that the Stoke defense is one of the five worst in the league. Five worst, like three worst. It's like it's in the top three worst defenses.
Yeah, it is a cobbled together defense. there's some class players in there like Butland and Zuma, but
exactly.
Like Island of Misfit Toys has been Stoke's method for the last few seasons.
Yeah, the problem is outside of Butland and Zuma, you've got like Ryan Shakras, who like his best years were 5 years ago when he was like
total from Lord of the Rings, that guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Peters, who has a big drop off from last season. Kevin Wimmer, who's been pretty disappointing, I think. I mean, Glenn Johnson doesn't even play. You know, he's like 35. Jeff Cameron's injured. Brendan Martin's is injured. I mean, it's an ugly situation right now. So, I mean, it's a cobbled together defense playing the best striker in the Premier League, and neither of us are even thinking about captaining him. All that said, I'm not planning to drop them. You know, I'm just going to ride it out, and I hope it doesn't come back to totally haunt me.
Well, the thing here to say is that there's no one that you would replace Kane with. What you would do is you'd replace Kane with, I mean, you've got guys like Lacazette or the rotation kings, Aguero and Jesus. I assume everyone already has Alvaro Morata, but there's just no one to replace Kane with who's or Lukaku, I should also mention. None of these guys are consistently performing to the point where they're clear front runners above Kane. And if you get rid of Kane and you decide you're going to go like a Roberto Firmino route, you're going to spread that money elsewhere in your team. And then when Kane finally starts coming good, which we assume he will,
right?
You're not going to be able to get him.
Yeah. And let's also put aside the idea that he is having a hugely disappointing season. I mean, as we said a moment ago, he is on 10 goals this year. He's the top in terms of actual goals. He's the top goal scorer in the game, in the forward line, excuse me. Mo Salah has more goals than him. He's only 1 point behind Alvaro Morata for overall leaders in the forward ranks. It's not like he's playing like, you know, Tammy Abraham level disappointing. It's just, you know, the bar is obviously higher because of his price. I mean, if you were even 10.5 million, you wouldn't even consider dropping him. It's just that 12.8, it's just, you could see how it would improve your team comprehensively. All that said, I'm, you know, especially because, I mean, if they weren't playing Stoke and Brighton back to back, maybe I'd consider it if they were, you know, but they kind of got through their tough run of fixtures, right? I mean, they had to play, you know, Liverpool, Man United, Leicester away, which is not an easy fixture, Arsenal away, even Watford away is not an easy fixture right now, given how Watford are playing. So, you know, now is the time. If you've waited it out with Kane, now you've got Stoke, you've got Brighton. Man City in game week 18, but I mean, Man City have conceded a goal, you know, seemingly every week. I know they've kept a few clean sheets. Burnley, Southampton, West Ham, Swansea. I mean, it's a great run all the way through January 2nd, you know, with the exception of the Man City game. So I'm not dropping.
Yet another footnote as well. Spurs haven't received a single penalty call all season, and this is
right?
A
wow.
Yeah. Totally different conversation, I would assume, if they have had one or two penalties, which Kane is taking and presumably scoring, and, you know, his goal record and his FPL game week record is looking a little bit different. And it's kind of nuts that they haven't had a penalty yet this season.
Yeah, and Paul Rookie was asking about Jesus, and he said, you know, would it be better to just swap Kane to Morata and hold on to Jesus, and then upgrade Aaron Gross to Ramsey. We haven't talked about Aaron Ramsey nearly enough on this podcast, by the way. He's having a great under the radar season, and maybe it's not under the radar anymore. We haven't talked about him too much on the podcast.
I feel like game week 15 is the week that Ramsey finally broke.
In terms of into our
thinking.
Yeah, that assist for Verlac. It was the only way to beat De Gea, was like a moment of real genius from Aaron Ramsey. Yeah, Jesus, I just don't think he's a player you want in your squad right now. It's just, I mean, he has been delivering the attacking points, but he's not getting bonus, and it's hard for him to play long enough to get multiple attacking returns. You know, it's great that I've been able to pick up some goals and assists from him, but, you know, I'm getting goals and assists in 30 minutes of time, you know, or 45 minutes today. I mean, you know, if he'd played the full 90 today, I feel very confident they would have picked up another assist or goal or something. But just given that he's not playing often enough, it's just not worth it. And, you know, I just see where that money could go, and I could buy someone more consistent.
Yeah, and the money leads us to the question of formation, and I think Jesus relies heavily on your FPL formation. And I think we've all now, like, and you're just about to do this, Josh, move away from the three up front.
Right.
And Jesus only really works in my mind as a third striker. And of course, it seems absurd that you have a 10.5 million third striker. Right. That's where we were earlier in the season.
Yeah.
But if you're playing two up front and a budget striker, there's no room for somebody who's getting rotated like that, because, you know, we were just talking about Kane and there are others that are more consistent at the same price tag.
I like Jesus a lot. I like watching him play. I just, you know, it's unfortunate for him that one of the world's best strikers happens to play in the same team as him. And it's they don't really complement each other super well. I know they have played together at times, and Pep doesn't feel like they do, at least. I know Jesus played as a winger at midweek, and he looked okay. I don't know that it was a great fit for him, and I mean, he was subbed off in the 60 or 70th minute or something like that. So final question in this bracket. Joe Pilgrim says, does De Gea's performance this weekend cement his place as the must-have goalkeeper this year? What do you think?
Yeah, I guess I touched upon this earlier in guys I'm going to keep in my team all season. And yeah, De Gea's performance against Arsenal was otherworldly. We as Americans, we talk often about Tim Howard against Belgium in the last World Cup, where he made 15 saves. And those were much easier saves than the ones De Gea was making against Arsenal.
Right.
As an FPL option, there is competing theories about paying too much for a goalkeeper. And I think De Gea is, given all the rotation and injury we've seen with the Manchester United defense, De Gea is the one easy route into those clean sheets.
Yeah.
If you can afford him, get him.
I'm going to punt in this question right now, because I feel like I don't know what to do with my goalkeeping situation. I've got Fabianski and Elliott. Elliott looks like he's probably going to lose his spot. I mean, Darlow actually played pretty well in the I didn't actually watch the midweek game for Newcastle, but I did watch the Chelsea Newcastle match, and I thought he acquitted himself very well. I'd be surprised if he lost his job after that performance. So the player that I would like to have in my squad right now, if I could, is Jordan Pickford, who has picked up two clean sheets in a row. Just looks like a good buy. He's down to 4.8 million. I don't love him at 5 million, but at 4.8 million, I feel like with a goalkeeper, it's like you want to get as close to a bargain as possible. And 4.8 feels like a pretty decent value. Pope, I'm just worried about, because I think that Heaton is starting to get back into training a little bit. And so I don't want to burn a train, because if Elliott's a non-playing keeper for me, then whoever I bring in needs to be someone I can keep until I play my second wild card, which might be for, 15, 20 weeks from now.
Right now Heaton is projected to maybe be back by January 1 in the new year.
Right, exactly. So if I brought in him, Pope, I'd have to bring him probably right back out in 4 or 5 weeks. So right now I'm looking at Pickford, who I could move from Fabianski. I know that there are people who are fine with those Fabianski save points, but I just have not had any luck with Fabianski so far, except his 5 points in the Chelsea match at midweek. So, I think I'm going to keep him for West Brom, and then their home to Man City. I don't want him for that. And I might go Pickford, Fabianski to Pickford in game week 17.
All right, Josh, that is the expensive bracket. We're going to take a quick break, quickly run through some value options, and preview game week 16.
Perfect. Same old podcast, always cheating. Brandon, we're back. Before we go any further, we want to talk about our friends at Starting 11. Now, in last week's podcast, I talked about the fact that I was near unbeatable in Starting 11, which is a daily fantasy app where you get to you pick your team out of players that are playing that very day, and you're allowed in-game substitutions. You're allowed to there's no budget on your team at all. And so I said, basically, take me on. I can't be beat. I played 11 starting 11 contests with various people on Wednesday. I won 2 and lost 9. It was a complete disaster. I was destroyed in starting 11.
Done in by your own hubris.
I was done. Exactly. I set myself up for it was a hubristic moment. Set myself up. But it was a lot of fun. I was frantically moving through trying to patch up all the leaks in my various starting 11 squads. It was like Mickey Mouse in Fantasia, with the water. I was just like, it was just
sure, all the dancing brooms.
Exactly. I was playing 11 dancing brooms. And it was a total nightmare. But it was a fun nightmare, Brandon. And
just like Fantasia.
Just like Fantasia.
Yeah, I played starting 11 this weekend as well. I had a few head-to-heads, one with a new player, FPL Weka, who managed to beat me. And it is a lot of fun. Like you're saying, the no budget live in-game substitutions. But what I do love about starting 11 is I'm kind of a design oriented person. Like I do the artwork for the podcast and the website, and starting 11 is beautiful just to look at it and to use the interface, the way your team looks in the pitch view. It's really beautiful. So check it out. You can download Starting 11 to your iPhone or your Android phone. Just go to starting11.io. That's starting11.io. There are links there that take you right to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store, where you can download the app or just search for it on those stores. And hit us up on direct message and challenge us, or challenge your friends. You don't have to challenge me and Josh. Josh is, as we have discovered, can't win a single starting 11.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I stink, but I'll still play you. But apparently I'm bad now. So definitely challenge us. And go to starting11.io to learn more. And in fact, if you want to learn more, you can go to our SoundCloud page where we have an interview with Thomas Braun, who's one of the co-founders of Starting 11. That interview ran, I think, back in August, but it's still there on our feed. And it's a fun interview, and you learn a lot more about the app there. So
you basically figure out what Starting 11 is all about. Exactly. Right there. Yep. We can't explain it. Thomas can explain it.
All right. So challenge the cheaters, and good luck this weekend.
Okay, Josh, it's time for value options. All right, we need to talk about the cheapies. We have a question here from Stephen Toomey. Has Gross run his course, or should we consider holding him as a fifth mid? So this is interesting, to position a guy like Pascal Gross as a fifth mid. I mean, 5.5.
He'd be like my third mid, I think.
Yeah, that was actually one of the hardest decisions I've made this FPL season, is actually dumping Gross, who performed really well for me through the early parts of the season, super consistent with his returns. So far, I haven't missed out on any points from Gross.
Yeah, well, the three bonus points away to Man United was one less finger in the eye.
Yeah, if I can count on anyone keeping tabs on the points I've missed out on, it's you, Josh.
That's true. So, sorry, have I had your case too much? I'm just messing around. I'm sorry, Brian.
No, it's good banter. It's good banter.
All right, good.
So it is an interesting question here, though, that how do we predict a guy, particularly guys like Gross? How do we predict when it's time to jump off? Because I think we haven't seen the last of him.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, it's one we could spend like a whole episode talking about. I'm just thinking I could like literally spend an hour talking about this very question, because it's so important to playing well. Basically, when do you give up on a player? I mean, I gave up on Lukaku a couple of weeks ago. I think it helps if you're not. Don't do it in an emotional way. Right. I mean, I don't mean to take Stephen's question about Gross and run with it too much, but just, look at the very least, look at the fixtures before you drop, because, the fixtures are really important. I mean, people are talking about dropping Richarlison now. Right. Why are they dropping Richarlison? Because he had a few difficult fixtures. Right. And so he wasn't able to perform the way that he had against some of the easier teams that he played.
Yeah. And guess what Watford's fixtures look like coming up? Burnley, Palace, Huddersfield, Brighton, Leicester, Swansea.
Exactly.
And then they get hit by Manchester City at the start of the new year.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Most attacking players don't do well against Man United and Spurs. Right.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. If I had Gross, he'd be a fourth tier midfielder for me, or that's where he landed for me in my midfield. And ultimately, I think Loftus-Cheek at 4.5, that's just a nailed on fifth midfielder for any manager out there.
I played him as a fourth the next few weeks, and he's been pretty good in that role.
Yeah, I mean, if I wish he weren't so good, Loftus-Cheek, because if he wasn't so good, I would have played Calvert-Lewin this week. Yeah,
I do. I do wonder if ultimately they have to, if they have to move. Like, I wonder if Benteke just shouldn't be starting.
I agree. Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah.
The Crystal Palace attack looked better without him in it, and now that because Loftus-Cheek has had to move back. Basically, he's had to move back one spot in the formation, and Benteke is, I think he's past his prime maybe.
Yeah.
Is that too much? Is that too bold? I don't think it is. Sorry, Christian.
No. All right. Next question is actually about Sané, which he's an expensive value option.
He's like the most expensive value option, but he started the season at 8.5, which I think is That's almost the value bracket. It's right in the middle.
Oh, for sure. Gibran Chata asks, Sané blanked in the last three games running, hasn't scored in five games. Granted, he didn't play one, and his underlying stats haven't looked that great. Is it time to ship him out for someone sub 8-ish to free up funds?
Yeah, this is really where the Paul Pogba the Paul Pogba red card really hurts. That's just like a really nice, easy move to make. I think that Aaron Ramsey actually might be an interesting option there. I mean, you could take, assuming you want to drop Sané, which I actually think, I mean, I don't know. Why don't you answer this question? Because you've got Sané in your squad.
I am concerned that Sané is, you know, he's great for Pep because he provides width, but he has been providing like so much width. He is like touching that left side through the entire game.
Yeah.
His activity in the box is really diminishing, particularly if you compare him to a guy like Raheem Sterling, who, like you've mentioned in previous episodes, is almost like a second striker at some points.
Right.
And it seems like Sané is playing wider, and it doesn't feel great. I'm looking to dump Sané pretty soon.
I wonder, he runs out of steam a little bit too, I think. I thought he looked really good the first 30 minutes of this match, and I thought he faded a little bit. I don't know if that's because he was still recovering from the flu, if that's what he actually had. I don't know.
His one move is to lay it off to Silva or whoever it is, and then he runs in behind the defense.
Yes.
And they slot it in. But these teams now are playing so insanely deep against Manchester City. There's no space for him to run behind.
Yeah, and it seems like Sterling is a little better at playing at the margins, and he kind of sneaks in a little bit. I mean, everyone knows what Sané is doing now, right? I mean, his like, you're right. I mean, his play it off to Silva and run and move is the equivalent of Mahrez's cutback and like shoot it outside the box, like on his left foot, right?
Yeah, or Iron Robin or something like
that. Exactly. Like everyone knew what the Mahrez move was, so that when he tried to do it again the next, it's like Karate Kid 2. You know, you do the crane that first movie, second movie he does the crane, just gets swatted away, right? It doesn't work anymore.
That's true.
Yeah, Sané needs a new move.
All right, next question is from Marcel Kreis. Any under £8 million midfielder recommendations replacing Pogba for the next three game weeks? So we've mentioned Ramsey, of course, Josh, but here are some other suggestions from Marcel. What do you think about Sigurdsson or Richarlison, Fabregas or Wilfred Zaha? So we talked a bit about Crystal Palace. We didn't mention Will Zaha.
Right. I would put Fabregas at the lowest of all these players. I think I would go Ramsey, Richarlison. You know, Sigurdsson is interesting. I mean, it does kind of seem like Sam Allardyce might be able to get the most out of him. I don't know. I mean, he is an intriguing option. We haven't really talked about Everton too much in this podcast, but we'll save that for next week maybe. But he's, you know, he's 8 million though. It's a bit pricey. It's, you know, for a player who's about to play away to Liverpool, their fixtures are pretty good in the future, but he's still only looking at 2 goals and 2 assists on the season. Now, granted, those 2 goals and 2 assists have come in the last 4 matches.
We didn't even mention the goal that Sigurdsson scored that was the cheeky assist from DCL. Incredible goal, which hit the crossbar in both posts.
Couldn't
Everton have been scoring the most like YouTubeable goals of recent memory. Wayne Rooney's midfield shot was amazing.
It's a shame that goal happened at midweek because it didn't get talked about as much as it should have, really, because that is an absolutely ridiculous goal.
Yeah. So, Fabregas is, I assume he's at the bottom of the list solely because we're all looking at Hazard, and why would we be making room for two?
It's just, he's a deep line player. I mean, you know, you're not going to get a lot of goals out of him. I mean, all of these players will get you more goals than he will. He's, you know, in his 30s now. He's, you know, he's not a every single game week player, and I don't think he will be over the holidays. I think he's got to be rested more than most. I'd rather have Zaha even than Fabregas.
Okay. So yeah, Richarlison, you've not owned Richarlison this season. How close have you got? Oh, you have?
Yeah, I had him for 3 weeks. I had him from, I think, game weeks, maybe 2, 3, and 4. And then I dropped him when I wildcarded in game week 5 or 6. So
okay.
He had a run of 3 blanks in a row, which coincided with him being on my team. And then he went on this amazing run basically as soon as I wildcarded him out. And it was just like, he was like a million more than Chopa Moting. There's just no way to bring him back. And so, you know, it happens.
All right, 2 more value questions, then we're going to do our Game Week 16 preview. Next one is from Joachim Grove Rold. It seems like the bottomless pool of cheap point-scoring defenders like Kiko and Ben Mee has gone somewhat dry. Where to look now? Are we looking at Crystal Palace, West Bromwich Albion? Interesting question. So we've got a fixture pile up. We're going to need some nailed-on starters that we might be able to get a handful of clean sheets out of during the festive fixtures. Which value teams are we targeting, Josh?
Yeah, I like there was, I will have to apologize to somebody on a recent podcast said, I just transferred in Mamadou Sakho. Did I make a good move? And both of us were like, no, not really.
No, I said I claimed it was great business.
Did you? Okay. I was a little more on the fence, maybe because they hadn't kept a clean sheet season.
It was coupled with the fact that they had dropped Cedric Suarez, who coincidentally went off injured, but had looked right. Terrible.
So he has a game-winning goal and two back-to-back clean sheets, and he has 8 bonus points in the last 3 games. He's 4.9 million. Still a bit expensive for a Crystal Palace defender, in my opinion. But they're looking a lot better, and they play Bournemouth and Watford in their next 2 home matches. I think that you got to give Roy Hodgson a lot of credit. I mean, he's really turned the season around for them. I mean, they're not scoring as much as they should, but I would assume now that they're going to stay up this season.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think they've got the tools to do it, the players to do it. They'll be fine. It's hard to find any other value defense. That's why I ended up with double Burnley. I mean, Ben Mee and Tarkowski both, I got them in when they were at 4.5. They've both priced, I think Tarkowski is 4.6 now and Mee is 4.7. But still, you do want to diversify a little bit more than that. But already having Shane Duffy, I don't look at Watford. We could talk about Watford. I don't look at Watford. They have good attacking wingers, but they're not a good shot for a clean sheet ever. They're kind of terrible at defense.
I really just don't know if there is a lot of value outside of Burnley. I mean, you can take a punt on one of these Crystal Palace guys.
The Pardew appointment is probably the worst thing that could have happened to FPL managers who own West Brom defenders, right? Because Pardew not renowned for his defensive stability.
What about John Joe Kenny? He's played started the 11th last 7 matches, picked up an assist in game week 14. He's 4.3 million. He's an Everton youth player. He came through the ranks. Still has the starting spot for now. I guess he's playing over because Baines and he were playing together. I apologize. I don't know Everton's like backline as well as I should. Maybe it's much less settled than it used to be in years past.
Yeah, I think we can say about Kenny too that Unsworth was just a huge fan, having a connection to the academy,
right.
I don't know if his starts were sort of inflated because Unsworth really liked him.
Possibly, but he did start the first match under Allardyce, so that's a good sign.
Yeah,
it's Keane is an interesting option too, but he's very expensive at 5.3 million. I think Pickford is the only player I'd really look at in that Everton back. Maybe Kenny. I mean, what the hell? I've got Mbemba doing nothing for me. So Mbemba to Kenny, I guess I'd do that over any of the other defensive moves I looked at.
Yeah. And again, don't overlook Brighton. I mean, Shane Duffy is due a few more attacking returns. I mean, just look at him getting a penalty call in the box against Liverpool.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, the Dunk. Do we think Dunk can keep getting own goals? This can't keep happening, right?
I would find it entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, back-to-back, it's just, I feel bad for him.
All right, speaking of Brighton, Josh, we have one last question.
All right.
Mike Mulcahy on Twitter asks, is Glenn Murray a viable option? He seems to get a lot of touches in the box, plus takes PKs. This guy continues to score goals. What do you think about Glenn Murray?
I don't know. I guess he is. Five goals in the season. I mean, he just went three matches without scoring a goal. Now, granted, they were, you know, I mean, two of those were pretty good matches. They were home to Stoke, home to Crystal Palace. It helps that he's on pens. It seems like they have been winning a lot of pens, as you just mentioned. So, yeah, I mean, do you like him more than like Charlie Austin?
No way. I don't mean to underline that. I like Austin better just because I think there's more behind Charlie Austin. I think he'll have more opportunities. Rotation is an interesting question here. Austin will almost assuredly be rotated during the fixture pileup, as will Glenn Murray. He'll probably miss one. What would you predict? Maybe Murray misses out on one, maybe two starts?
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, Brighton just can't afford to rest any of their top players.
Yeah, the ceiling seems much higher for Charlie Austin than it does for Glenn Murray. It does feel much more unsustainable. With Murray, we've seen Charlie Austin string together goal streaks in seasons past. We know what he's capable of.
I wish their fixtures were better. That's the only, you know, Arsenal, Chelsea, Spurs, Man United, and four of the next six.
But here's where we're at. We're talking about guys like Murray and Dominic Calvert-Lewin, even like talking about Tammy Abraham again. These are guys that are going to rotate in and out of your squad depending on what formation you're playing, what the fixtures look like. You can bring Glenn Murray in and you don't have to play him every week.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes it's almost worth bringing in a player who you don't want to start every week. You know, there's probably a temptation with him just to start him, but if you, you know, commit yourself to the 4-4-2 or to the 3-5 to the 3-5-2, and just don't play those players. You know, don't get in that trap of just feeling like you've got to start three forwards.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, that's the questions for this week, Brandon. Game week 16, we get a few days off, rest, recharge the batteries. It's an old school game week, Brandon. There's just games on Saturday and Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an early game on Saturday. Chelsea had the early match again on Saturday. That's surprising.
I know. And that's really unfair to people who want to captain Chelsea players. I
mean, yeah.
It definitely worked out for Morata and Hazard captainers this week, but it's no fun having your armband play so early. You've got the rest of the weekend to not have that.
Yeah, fun. And they play Champions League in midweek too, so that's a little surprising. So, captain options, I think, Morata and Hazard in that West Ham game. I think that Harry Kane has to be on the table, obviously.
Harry Kane's my vice captain right now.
Right. Reasonable. I may end up captaining him ultimately. I may talk myself into it. It does make some sense, obviously. Liverpool host Everton on Sunday. That would have the benefit of – it's always nice if you can captain a player the next day. You know, you get Saturday and you're like, no matter what happens on Saturday, I got my captain going tomorrow. And then we got the Manchester Derby on the late game on Sunday. Any predictions for the Manchester Derby? What do you think? It's Man U's at home.
Yeah. The loss of Pogba, you can't overstate what that impact is on United. I am thinking back to the City-Liverpool game earlier this season, which was hampered by Mane going off with a red card by sticking his cleat into Ederson's face earlier in the match.
Sure.
But I have a sense that Manchester City are just going to take this game by the scruff of the neck early on and run away with it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I wonder if Mourinho – see, Mourinho really needs to win this game. The problem is he needs to win the game, but he really can't lose it. If he loses it, they're down 11 points, and that's very hard to come back from. 8 points is not too much. This I don't know. Is 3 points that big of a difference? It feels like a lot right now. I mean, 8 seems like a lot. So I can't see him playing a super attacking style even at home. Which would, you know,
play in front of the home fans. They're going to want to see their team attack.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's such a hard one to call. I'm really excited for the match. I'm bummed that Pogba was going to miss out. That would have been great to see a full strength Manchester United take on City, but City wins by at least a 2-goal margin. That's my prediction.
Okay. Yeah, I think that City win as well. I guess I'll say another 2-1. It feels like City have been playing a lot of 2-1 matches of late. So that's my pick. And I'm excited about it's actually a really good game week. There's lots of interesting fixtures coming up. Yeah, that Spurs-Stoke game will be a really telling moment. I think, you know, if Kane blinks there, maybe we have to reconsider things a little bit. I mean, how many times can
wait. If he blinks there, we've been reconsidering this, you know, ad nauseum.
I guess you said it when you said there's just no other options, right? There's no, like, I guess Aguero. I don't think either of us would really consider bringing in Aguero, but maybe he's on the table. I don't know.
Well, we both have the armband on our bus teams on Mohamed Salah right now. We can't just gloss over the Merseyside Derby here. I mean, Big Sam is known for a shrewd, sure, defensive tighten, style when he needs to be.
Organization.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And they're going to Anfield. That'd probably be how they set up. I mean, how many goals do you think Liverpool are going to score on Everton?
I don't know. Everton have been playing better. I think that's closer than you think it's going to be. It's like a 2-0 game, maybe.
Okay. I mean, that's still captaincy territory.
Sure. Sure. I really feel like I might have to captain Harry Kane at home to Stoke.
Wow.
I don't know. It's tricky.
I'm not calling you out as like a doofus or something right, like that.
How it's about just this? Like if Chelsea were the last match, if the whole run of fixtures took place and Chelsea played after the Manchester's derby and they played this West Ham game, I think, yeah, I'd be more inclined to captain Hazard. It's like mentally, it's like there's a hurdle for me to overcome where it's like it's the first match of the weekend and there are just all of these really tempting captaincy options that come like through every other match. And
yeah,
it's just it's hard to have kind of an emotional response to that and be like, just, you know, I don't know. Like, yeah, you always want to captain the player you think is going to score the most points, but it's very tough when it's the first fixture.
Yeah, well, some people like to point out that our podcast always comes out before the midweek fixtures, like if there's Champions League. But we do trust that our listeners have brains and they can take what we say now and apply it to what the situation looks like after the Champions League fixtures are played.
Totally, exactly.
So yeah. I would say to everyone listening who might still be listening to Always Cheating, just wait until Chelsea play their Champions League fixture. Maybe Hazard, maybe he breaks his leg. God forbid, or maybe he gets subbed off at the 66th minute. He's starting to look a lot better as a nailed on starter captain option.
Yep, I think that all makes sense. Yeah, we'll see if he even plays. I mean, they don't need to win that match. I don't think. I think they've already won their group. Maybe they need a point.
The game against West Ham is a great opportunity for teams like Chelsea. If, say, United takes City to a 0-0 draw, all these teams like Chelsea and Arsenal and Burnley, of course, looking to close the gap, this is the weekend to do it.
Yeah, Burnley is an interesting case because they've fallen a little bit off, right, just the last couple of matches. So let's see.
Yeah, reverting to form a bit.
Yeah, exactly. They're still in seventh place. So maybe it's really just that they've conceded goals the last two matches. And I think we all sort of got used to them being a team that never conceded goals. You know, they still have 3 wins in their last 5. So, Burnley, you're going to get a little pass for 1 week. But you might be on the docket for next week's discussion. We'll see how this goes.
All right. Okay. So more discussion to be had about captains. Where can people discuss captain and other issues about game week 16 online with us, Josh?
People can discuss it in lots of different places. They can find us on now they can find us on Slack, in which case you just need to become a Patreon supporter at the $3 or $5 level. You go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. You can also, of course, find us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/hailcheaters. You know, Twitter is still our biggest social space. That's where we're the most active for sure. Facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can also email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com.
Yeah, and sign up for Cheat Codes, our new weekly e-newsletter. You're gonna, if you sign up, you can go to alwayscheating.com. There's a form right there to throw your email into, or just click the newsletter tab. We will actually have our 11 players picked for game week 16, and we'll have to come to some consensus in that 11, Josh, who our overwhelming captaincy choice is going to be.
And unlike the scout, we're just going to pick anybody we want, and we're not going to even pretend that we're doing a $100 million budget. This is going to be the ultimate lineup for each week.
Yeah, cheat code. Sign up. Go to alwayscheating.com and get that newsletter. It's free.
All right.
And of course, subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. It's available wherever you get your podcasts. And we were talking to Rick Sito about the wonderful review he left for our podcast on the iTunes store. And if you want to be like Rick, like I do, go leave us a nice review at the iTunes store.
Yeah, we liked Rick. He was a good guy. And he left a good review even before. We didn't make him write it while he was with us. He written it before we ever met him. So definitely check it out. And if you're so inclined, write us a review. Other than that, good luck this weekend. We'll see no injuries in the Champions League. And we'll see you next week.
Poku forever.
Praise Mbakani.